We begin the current daf himself. Pesachim daf pehei. We begin on the bottom of pedalamid beis, six lines off on the bottom of the amid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was speaking about the issa of shvir se'etzim of breaking the bone of the carbon pesach. So the Gemara brings the following machloikis. Itma we learned. Aver she'en lov kezayis baser b'mokim zeh. Regarding a limb that has a bone of the carbon pesach inside of it, however, there is not a kezayis of flesh on that area of the bone. But the yeshlev kezayis basa makamachim, however, there is a kezayis of meat in another place. So we have a machloikis regarding the iser of shvir se'etzim, if it would apply to that or not. And that is, as the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, yesh b'mishum shvir se'etzim, they would still apply the iser of breaking the bone. That is, both of them agree that the bone has to have a kezayis of meat for it to have the iser of breaking the bone, as we had learned in the previous daf regarding the machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan, and that is as I will momentarily explain. It seems like the machlokes Rebbe and Shlokish is in the opinion of Rebbe, who he said that etzem leisishbru boi, you should not break a bone of the karm pesach. Boi means in it that which is roi l'achila, as the previous part of the pasuk we're speaking about achila, and however that would exclude something that's not roi l'achila. Achila mitzvah say it has to have the sheir achila b'kezayis. Their whole machlokes is regarding this, that it has to have a sheir b'kezayis for it to be chayv on issa breaking the bone. Does it have to be in one area or not? Rabbi Yechonon says that it doesn't have to be in one area. As long as the animal has that kezayis, one would be chayv for breaking the bone. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Lakashama, he says, Eima mishum b'shevirsa etzim, that one would not be chayv for breaking the bone, because you need to have the sheir achila b'kezayis in the actual place where you're going to break the bone. That area has to have a kezayis of meat. And as Taisa explains, that it seems like the machlokes of Yechon and Shlokish is the machlokes that Ravina and Rambashi had, which were from the two out of the eight different interpretations on the previous staff of what was the difference between the opinion of the Tanakama, who said boy meant b'kasha b'lev apostle, and Rebbe, who said that it has to be rolachila not, which seems like the same thing. There were eight different interpretations. The machlekes Ravina Ravashi was the same machlekes, that does it have to have just a kezayis overall, or does it have to have a kezayis in this specific place? That seems to be the same machlekes, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Now, that the Gemara says, Eis Rabbi Yechon and Bshim Belakish. He asked him the following brisa. Says in the pasuk, ve'etzem leisish b'boi. Again, this is the pasuk which speaks about this prohibition: a bone should not be broken in the karm pesach. So the brisa says, echad etzem sheyesh alav kezayis basa, whether the bone has a kezayis of meat, ve'echad etzem she'ein alav kezayis basa, whether the bone does not have a kezayis of meat. Either way, one is going to be violating the isra of etzem leisish b'boi. So Rabbi Yechonon explains, my ein alav kezayis basa. What does it mean when the brisa says you can be chayev if it doesn't have a kezayis of meat? If you're going to say it means that there's no kezayis of meat whatsoever on that whole entire bone, why would there be issa breaking the bone? As Rashi explains, both Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both agree that it has to have a kezayis for it to be considered roh l'achila, has to have a share of achila. So that's obviously not what the brisa means when it says even if it doesn't have meat. El alav, rather you can infer the hachikam, what the brisa was saying was, that whether if the bone has a kezayis of meat in this area, in other words, where it's going to be broken, and even if it doesn't have a kezayis of meat right here, we're going to break the bone. But it has kezayis of meat elsewhere, and then that, it's going to say you're still going to be chayiv. And that's kashlab shemalakish. That's obviously a difficult according to shemalakish, because we're saying that there will be an iser in such a case where it's not in one area in Rish Lakish. That was what he argued in Rabbi Yechon, and says that then there won't be in this. There has to be in the Makam Shvir. On that, Amalei Rish Lakish respond to Rabbi Yechon, and we continue on top of Peheyim and Aleph. That line, it's not true. Hachikama. What the Brisa was saying, that and truthfully, is that you have to have the Achila, the Shir of Achila, of Kezayis, of meat, in the place where it's being broken, as Rish Lakish said. This that the Brisa said, and whether it be a bone, She'ein Alav Kezayis Basit, that does not have Kezayis of meat, what it said was as follows, that echad etzem yishesh alav kezayis basa mibachutz, whether it's a bone that has kezayis of meat on the outside, which is the flesh, the echad etzem shein alav kezayis basa mibachutz, or whether it's a bone that does not have kezayis of meat on the outside, but v'yesh alav kezayis basa mibifnim b'makam shvira. But again, like Rish Lakish says, it has to be in the place where it's being broken. What does it mean that there is no kezayis of meat? There's no kezayis of meat on the outside, but there is on the inside. And what the Brayis is teaching you, that the consumption of the marrow is considered an achila, that would be fit to be considered that is roh l'achila, and hence that would be a place, if you have marrow inside of kezayis, where you're breaking it, that would allow you to have the violation of the issa shvir. But Tanya, like we learned in the Brayis, that says this idea, that one is forbidden to break a bone that has inside marrow, And again, that's the same idea that Rish Lakish wants to have, to say that it's the same having Gezayis a Basar on the outside, having Gezayis a Marrow on the inside is the same thing. But however, what the Bryce's intention is to teach you that we don't say that the positive commandment of Ochel Es HaBasar, to eat the meat of the Karban Pesach, should be deicha the negative prohibition of breaking the bone. So this is what the Bryce's intention is, but it teaches us this idea that the marrow inside will allow us to have the violation of breaking the bone, even in that area we'll have considered kezayis of meat, not even though there's no meat in the outside, but since there's marrow in the inside. So the Braisa says, there's a pasuk in Shemais of Etzem Leisishbubai, that the bone should not be breaking inside of from the bones of the Karban Pesach. And that the Braisa says, Echad Etzem Shiesh by Mayach, whether it, even if it's a bone that has inside marrow, the Echad Etzem Shein by Mayach, and whether it's a bone that doesn't have marrow, either way, you can't break that bone. Now, Uman Mimikaim said, then what am I going to do to fulfill the pasuk in Shemais that says, V'ochel es habasar balaylazeh, that you should eat the meat of the Karban Pesach this night? You're not going to leave anything over. Now, marrow is considered basar too, so how can you say that you can't break those bones if you have to eat the meat, quote, the marrow that's inside? And that you'll say, it means that when the pasuk says you should eat the meat this night, it means b'basar shagabe eats, it means the meat that's on top of the bones. However, the marrow not. Now, as Rashi explains, you can't say that what the pasuk wants you to do when it says to eat the meat this night, they want you to eat all the meat, which would include the marrow. Now, how would you get to the marrow if you can't break it? By putting a coal on the bone, which would then burn it, which is not an issur of breaking it. And the Rashi says that it can't be, because the pasuk would not require you to do something that could very easily bring to a prohibition, because maybe when you're burning, it's going to crack, and hence you're going to be violating the issur of etzem leisishbur boy. So obviously that's not what the pasuk is talking about, and rather the Braisa says, obviously, when it says to eat the meat, it only means the meat on the outside, not the marrow inside. Oy enoy. Or maybe the Braisa says, maybe it's not the case. Ela bebasir shabatech etzim, maybe that it's talking about that you should even eat the meat that's inside the bone. In other words, that you should eat the marrow, that's the chiv. Or mani mekayim be'etzim l'sishbe, then how am I going to do fulfilling that the isra of breaking the bone? That would only apply by bones that don't have marrow. But a bone that has marrow, you break it and you eat it, because the zechiv, as the pasuk says, you have to eat the meat, which includes the marrow. And then the Braisa says, don't wonder how can you go ahead and do that by violating the issur of etzem leisishbur boy to eat the marrow inside. Very simply, because we know there's a famous dictum, a rule that Chazal say, that a positive commandment pushes away negative prohibition, which therefore the mitzvah say of eating balayla zeh would then push away the issur of breaking the bone. So however, when the pasuk says in Bamidbar, the etzem leisishbur boy, that the bone should not be broken to Pesach Sheni, it's repeated again in the second Pesach, which is for those that were Tami or far away, then in ear time, they bring it their Pesach then. Shein Tam Eloyim, where there was no need to teach that Isser of breaking the bones. Sheik Vanim, because the Pasuk there already tells us, Kechol Chukas HaPesach Yasuei, say that this second Pesach should be done with all the statutes, all the laws, as by the first one, and therefore we know that just like you're not allowed to break the bones of the first one, you're not allowed to break the bones of the second one, so why does it repeat it? Rather, it must be that it's telling us this halacha that echad etzem sheyesh b'mayach, that whether it's the bones that have marrow of echad etzem sheyesh b'mayach, or if it doesn't have marrow, either way, the issa of etzem leisish b'boy would apply in both situations, both for marrow and for not having marrow. So that was the intention of the Braisa, teaching that you don't say asay dechalos, so you can't break the bones even if it's marrow. But again, what Rish Lakish had shown from there is that don't ask for me from that Braisa that you'll see that what if it has basar or not. Obviously, it doesn't mean there's no basar; it must mean it has basar makam achar. And yet, you still see that there's going to be the iser. And the Rish Lakish says no when it says that it doesn't have basar, it didn't have on the outside, but had on the inside. Has marrow, that's considered busted. That would also be a violation of the issur of etzem leisishbur boy. But again, Rish Lakish says it has to be b'makom hashavi. Where you're breaking it has to have a kesayis of meat. It's not enough that it has elsewhere. So now Meisvei, Rabbi Yechonin continues to ask on Rish Lakish, the Gemara asks on Rish Lakish's opinion from a Mishnah on Amud Beis. It says in the Mishnah, Eivu sheyatzu miktsasa, regarding a limb that part of it went out. Now, there's a psul, it becomes invalid when it leaves the area of Yerushalayim where it's allowed to be. So then you have to break off that part of the limb that went out of the area that's allowed to be. So on that, the Mishnah says, chaytich, what you do is you cut the meat around that area, ad makam shemagilia etzim, until you reach the bone, then v'kaylev, then you peel back the meat that didn't go out, because again, they're both shearing a bone, so you peel that meat back, which never left. until you reach the joint, that's the area where the two bones are connected. And then you break it there by the joint and you throw away the bone that part of it had gone out, and then you eat the meat that was peeled away. Again, because the meat is kosher never now, but the bone you can't break. So then you go ahead, you cut to there, and then you peel it back, and then you break it not by the bone itself, but by the joint, and then you throw away that bone. So now the Gemara concludes the question. V'i amrit avish einu lav kazayis basa b'makam zeh. V'yesh b'makam acher. But if you say regarding this limb, that if it doesn't have a kazayis of meat right here where you're breaking it, but if it has elsewhere, then, and you say it like Rish Lakish, that ain't by Mishra Mishra etzim, that there would be no prohibition of breaking the bone. But then, why does the Mishnah Amud Beis tell us that you peel away until you reach the joint and then break it by the joint? What do you mean? Niklif Bei Porta, just peel back the meat just a little bit so that you could have the area where you're going to break it around, where the part of where the bone had gone out. And then Venitpare and break it over there, because then you're not going to have a Kazayis of meat because you're peeling the meat away. And when you're breaking it, if there's no kazayis of meat, Rish Lakish says that there is no issur of shviras etzim. So why do you have to go ahead and peel it all the way back and break it by the joint? Just peel the meat a little bit away. You won't have a kazayis of basar over there, and then break it. So it seems to be a contradiction to Rish Lakish's opinion. Another thing I want to give two answers. That although technically you could do that, Abayi says, Mishum Pekka, we are concerned that maybe that when you're breaking the bone where you're allowed to, the fracture might go ahead and continue to under the area where the meat is, because when you're breaking on where it was peeled, it's going to extend, and then the crack is going to be underneath where there is a kazayis of meat, and you're going to come to do the isser. To avoid that, we tell you to go ahead and peel the meat all the way back and break it by the joint so that you shouldn't come to the isser. Ravina says, Bukailis, we're talking about by a thigh bone, where there's a lot of marrow inside of it, that peeling back doesn't help, as Rish Lakish had said. Because the isser of etzem leisishbe boi tefek, because isser meat in the place where you're breaking it, is not just on the external meat, but even internal meat, that of the marrow. So if you're going to break it, even though you peeled away the meat, it's not going to help. You have to break it by the joint, because the marrow inside would make a person violate that on its own right, the isser of etzem leisishbe boi. So it's not difficult according to Rish Lakish. Now, related to this topic that we were discussing, the Gemara brings Tanan Hasan. We learned over there in the Mishnah, Kovchof on the base. It says, Hapigal, regarding when a Kohen does the Avodah and there's a Machshava of that this meat should be eaten, Chutz Lezmanli, past the designated time that's allowed to be eaten, or Vahanoiser, the animal meat that's actually from the carbon is left over from its time, and the word about Tami is they're not Goyris, Mitamina Sayyadim, that those types of meat, they convey tumah to one's hands, and that's rabbinic, because min haTorah there's no tumah that only goes to the hands. And that we say that these two types of meat rabbinically convey tumah to the hands. So what's the reason? So Rav Hu and Rav Chizr, we have these two amirim to explain what is the reason why there was a gzeirah rabbanan of tumah on the yadayim, on the hands, when they touch these meats of pigal that had a machshava that it should be eaten out of its designated time, and this leftover meat. One of them says because of the suspicions that we have on the kahanim. One says because of the laziness of the kahanim. And the Gemara explains that really they're not arguing. Mar Masnei Pigel, one of them, his opinion was being said regarding the Tumas Yedayim of Pigel. Umar Masnei Anais, and the other one's opinion was going on the case of why there was a Tumas Yedayim of the leftover meat. And that is Manda Masnei Pigel, the one that was giving the explanation for why there's a Tumah when there's Pigel. Mishum Chashdikuhuna. He was explaining that reason is because of the suspicion that we have within Kahanim that they're suspected to go ahead and invalidate a carbon by having a machshava of pigel because of jealousy, because of hatred. And therefore, Chazal didn't want the Kohen to go ahead and invalidate the carbon. So they said that there's a gezerah on this meat that he's being mefagel, that it will go ahead and then contaminate his hands. So now he's going to have to go ahead and immerse his hands before he goes and touches Kodesh meat. It's going to be a tirch, it's going to be an exertion. That's to avoid, as a deterrent, that he shouldn't go ahead and do this because it's going to be an inconvenience for him. Manda Masnei Anaisin, the one that was going on, the case of leftover meat, why there's a Tumas Yedayim, that was Mishum Asle Kahuna. That was because of the laziness of the Kahanim. That is when the Kahanim are lazy in the consumption of the kachim that they're supposed to eat, they were gezer tum on the leftover meat, so then to make it more difficult on them, now they're going to have Tumas Yedayim. So therefore, this is, a deterrent that they shouldn't leave it over, that they should go ahead and eat it in its time before it gets left over. However, although they weren't arguing regards to the reasoning behind the Tumah, they were just going one on Pigel, one on Isa, however, they do argue on regarding the shear. that is Mar Masni, one of them was saying that regarding both the Tumas Yedayim of Pigel and the Tumas Yedayim of Neiser was a share of Kezayis. And that is, when it's the size of a Kezayis, then the Rabbanu would geyser that that's going to convey a Tumah to the one's hands. But again, if it's smaller than that, then there won't be Tumah. Amar Masni, however, the other Amara says, Kebeya, that the share of Tumah that the Chachamim made on this Pigel and Neiser made was only if the size of an egg of a Kebeza. Now, the Gemara explains the reason is that Man de Master Kezayis, the one that said that it was a share of Kezayis, because he compared it to Ki'isuri, like the Isser. Just like the Isser of eating Pigel and Neiser is the size of an olive, so too, the Tumas Yedayim, they gave the same criteria of the share of a Kezayis. Man de Master Kezayis, the one that said that it has that they only made it the size of an egg, was Ketumasa, like the share of Tumah. In other words, in Minatayra, generally, the share of tumas oichon that food items have is when it's size of a kebaya. So to the Rabbanan, when they went and made their own tumas yedayim, they made it also with the same share that generally their derisas are in the share of a kebaya. Now, based on this, that there, we said that there's a tumas yedayim by pigel and neisa, the Gemara asked Ibailu the following question. What's with yoytze? What's with a psula when it goes out of the area that's allowed to be? Gazraban tuma eloi. Did they also make a deterrent and say that there's a gzer drabanan of tuma that's going to be on it? Or not, as the Gemara explains. Mi amrina neiser the gazer tuma. Do we say that by neiser, by leftover meat, rabbanu will gazer tuma? The asi leitzu lebei, because there people could become lazy. To finish, I'm going to eat supper later, and it's going to end up becoming neiser. That's why they made a deterrent of saying, you know what, your hands are going to become tame if you leave it over. Avol yaitze, but regarding when it goes out of its boundary, afuki be a dime, lamafkali be a dime. People don't generally go ahead and take it out actively out of the area where it's allowed to be. So legozer be rabban tuma, there's no need, and therefore the rabban did not make a gzera of tuma regarding this psul of yaitze. A demolition, or maybe there is no difference, both of them are somewhat of a negligence, and therefore the rabban wanted to make a deterrent, and therefore maybe they did make a gzera of tuma yaitze even by the psul of yaitze. So did we or did we not? So the gemara says, let's bring a raya from that mishnah amid base that we just brought in before. The Mishnah said, "Avish yatz miktsasi," regarding a limb that part of it went out of the walls of Yerushalayim. So chaytech at shemegila etzim. So you cut the meat until you reach the bone. The koylof at shemegila perek. Then you peel back the meat until you reach the joint. And mechaytech, and then you break it over there. Now the Gemara says we could obviously prove to one of these two options of this question, because the e amrit gozer be rabbanan tuma. If you would entertain that rabbanan did make a gzera of tuma on the meat of the carbon when it goes out of the area. So kichatich le mehavo. So when you're cutting this carbon pesach, that part of the limb became puzzle, what's it going to help? Hakumatamile. It's going to go ahead and convey tumah to the inner part that was the kasher that never left the area because it's touching the part that went out, which is attached to it. And therefore, the tumah is going to go ahead and be connected. It's going to be betamit. So obviously, the Gemara is saying that there is no tumah on something that goes out. Because if it were, what's your whole point of like peeling back the meat so that you go ahead and eat that meat and then break the bone and throw away the bone? But what's the point of peeling back the meat? Just break it by the joint, because that meat cannot be eaten because it's touching the part that went out. And therefore, if there's tumah on parts that go out, it's going to make everything tummy. Obviously, there is no tumah. Another thing Moshe says, no, it's not a proof. Because tumah sitarimhi, this is what's called tumah of a concealed area, and that whenever something is touching something in the concealed area where it cannot be seen, v'tumah sitarim lemitama, and tumah that is only that it's transmitting it in a concealed area, that does not convey tumah. As the Gemara learns in Masechtas Nida, that from the pasuk of v'yadav l'shatav b'mayim, that his hands were not immersed in water, where the Gemara learns over the end of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, that has to be touching something like hands which are open and revealed that everyone sees, that is something that will transmit tumah, but things which are concealed, like over here, which is underneath, you don't see it, that's not going to be considered as something that can convey tumah. And therefore, it's not a question. Maybe it does become tumah when it goes out, but it will not transmit it to the inner part, because that's tumah of a star. But now the Gemara asks, however, the Ravina Dam, according to Ravina, that he says, in Perek Behemem Hamakasha, Ayin Gemara Med Aleph, regarding food items that are attached and touching each other, he says, Chibur Oichlin Lav Chiburu. Food items that are attached are not considered as an attachment. Rather, it's like they're crumbled. That is, in other words, as if they're meant to be taken apart. And therefore, although that they are concealed, it's not included in the halacha of touching in the concealed areas, because we really view them as separate, hence not attached, and therefore it would be transmitting tumah. So, according to him, what are you going to say? They are touching, but they're not included in, so to speak, concealed areas. Bekumatame. And yet we say that it would be go, if you said that it was tame, it would go out of me betame, and therefore what would be the point of peeling the meat back? Just break the joint, because that meat is going to become tame. Obviously, that there is no tame. That's why we say peel it back, and the what's inside is kosher. So obviously that could resolve our question, if there was a tame sidayim on yoytzi or not. Obviously not. And that's why it's not going to transmit tame to what's inside. And that the Gemara says, Ella, no, it's not a raya. Rather, lamanda mashti kezayis, according to the one that says that the psul of the tumas yidayim that we said by pigel and noiser, and therefore, hence, maybe the same thing would apply to yaitzi, is when it's the shear of a kezayis. We're talking about over there the lesbic kezayis. Our Mishnah Amud Beis is talking about that the part that went out was not a kezayis. Hence, although maybe that the halacha would be that there would be tumah. However, then why wouldn't we say that it's going to convey tumah? Even if you say tumah space is stum, it doesn't convey. But according to Ravina, however, that this would not be considered tumah stum, it should convey tumah. It's because it never became tummy, not because yoytze doesn't become tummy, because it didn't have the shear. That is, according to one that says it has to be kezayis, it didn't have a shear of a kezayis. According to one that says that it has to be kebeya, it didn't even have that shear, and that's why it wasn't metame. However, it is possible that we didn't resolve the question that maybe there would be tumas yidayim regarding a piece of meat of the Karban Pesach that goes out of the area where it's allowed to be. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Tashma, we learned in the Braisa. Hamoitzi b'sar Pesach mechabur l'chabur. Whoever takes out the meat of the Karban Pesach from one group, that is, the Karban Pesach has eaten in different groups, and you're not allowed to take it from one group to another, someone that took it out from one to the other, even though that he violated a negative prohibition, which the Gemara later will explain, where do you find such a negative prohibition in the Torah? However, tahar, still the Karban Pesach is going to be tahar. Now, that the Gemara says, my lav, tahar, doesn't it make sense to say that? It's saying that it's tahar, in other words, that it will not transmit tumah. However, v'asr, it sounds like, but that it is asr to eat it, like all other types of meat which go out of the area where it's allowed to be, which is that the boundaries of the Karban Pesach is where it's eaten. And that is, you can't, if you're eating it in this group and you're not allowed to eat in that other group, when you go to the other group, you're so to speak being even the Isser of Yaitze. And then, but just like the Isser of Yaitze, we know that it's Asr to eat it, so too would apply to the Isser of going from one group to another group. Because the Yaitze mechabur l'chabura ki Yaitze chutz mechatzasu dami. Leaving from one group to another is essentially the same as all other karbanas when you leave the area where it's allowed to be. Umifsel, and therefore becomes pasul. And that's why l'chayra, when it says it's tar, but it's still going to be Asr to eat it. And yet in spite of that, we said that it's tahar. Obviously, the Rabban did not make a gzer of tumah on psul of quote yaitze, because going from one group to another is essentially the iser of yaitze. And yet we say that it's tahar. It's not going to become tamei. So that resolves the question. We say there is no tumah sidayim on yaitze. Then the Gemara says, loy, tahar umutr. Really, that it's not, as we wanted to say, tahar and aser, and therefore it's the same as yaitze. No. The meat is actually mutter, because there is no, quote, psul of yaitze going from one group to another group. The yaitze mechabur lechabur lavka yaitze chutz mitzachatz lemechitzasi dami. Going from one group to another group is not the same as leaving the boundaries, let's say, Yerushalayim, where it's allowed to be. And therefore, v'loy mifsel, it does not become psul. There's only just an iser of taking it out of the group. But when you do, the carbon does not become psul. It's still going to be mutter. However, when you would go out of the actual mechitzis, not from one group to another, then I would tell you that maybe it would convey tumah. And here that it's tahar is because it was never included in the iser of yaitze. But then the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Vokotani sefer, but the end of the brisa says, now this, that when one, someone violates this, of taking it from one group to another group, it says, ha'oichlai, if someone then consumes that meat, ha'reza b'leisa say, that he is violating a negative prohibition. Now which negative prohibition is he violating? As the Gemara said in the Chavdal Amidav, it says, lo yoichl ki kaidishu, you're not allowed to eat it because it's holy, that whatever has this psul, it's telling you that there's a loisa say on the consumption of when you violated of taking it out of where it's supposed to be. Now, if we're saying that there's an isra achila, obviously we are considering it as the psul of yaitze, because what would be the negative prohibition of eating this meat? Even if, let's say, there's an isra of taking it out from one group to another, but where do we find the isra of eating it that it becomes invalid? Obviously, that's based on the source of where we find that the isra of yaitze becomes then usr to eat. And yet, in spite of that, we say that it's tahar. So therefore, that does conclusively show, regarding our question, that although there is the psul of yaitze from one group to another, as the Sefer clearly says, that if you're going to eat it now, it's going to be us, or you're going to be violating a license. So obviously, it's included in yaitze, and yet still we say that's tar. On that, the Gemara says, we could resolve it, according to one opinion, that is bishlam al-mandam, according to the one that says as we said before, the machlokes regarding piglet naisa, that the shear of tuma is kebeya, that's the size of an egg. Then, according to that opinion, you could answer the question. In other words, it wouldn't conclusively show either way regarding this question. And that is, maybe there was a gzeir of tuma even for something that leaves the area. Although the Brisa says that this meat, which obviously when you leave from one group to another group, is like psul of yotze, that it's tahar. However, that's the ispe kezayis. We're talking about a piece of meat that has a kezayis, and hence, therefore, there's the iser of when it's taken out to have the psul of yotze, but for lespe kebeya. However, it doesn't have the size of an egg, and that's why it's tahar. So it's in this middle area where it could be usher to eat, and if you do it, you violate a negative prohibition of yotze. But it still won't have tame, it'll still be tar, even though you will say that you could say this tama because it's less than a kebeya. Elamandom, a kezayis, but we're still, so to speak, stuck. According to the one that says that the tumas yidayim is the shear of kezayis by pigel and noiser, and we're trying to say if the same thing is by yotze or not, Michael Amema, what are you going to say? From the fact that the Brisa says whoever eats this meat that went from one group to another group, you're violating a negative prohibition, obviously we're talking about the kezayis. If there's no kezayis, then there wouldn't be this isra of even the iser yaitze, and yet still it says that it's going to be tar. So obviously that there is no tumas yidayim on the psul of yaitze. So therefore the Gemara, so therefore that seems to conclusively show one way or the other in our question again that there is no tumas yidayim on yaitze, at least according to that opinion. So therefore the Gemara concludes as follows: Ella rather be yaitze be pesach loy mebayilan, that when something, a piece of meat of the carbon pestle goes out of its area where it's allowed to be, that we never had a question, deloy gaz rabban tuma, that the rabbanon, you're right, it's conclusive, at least according to that opinion, that there is no tuma sidayim on when you go out of the area. And the reason is my time, or why? Because b'nei chaburah's reason, regarding the carbon pesach, that those people of the group that are making the carbon, they're careful, they have alacrity, there's a lot of people involved, and each one is warning the other, be careful, everyone's involved, everyone's hyper-focused on that. Everyone's very careful, and therefore Chazal did not have to be stringent on the person to make a gzera of tumah as a deterrent that they shouldn't come to take it out. That was not necessary. And as we had proved already, at least according to one opinion, that obviously there's no tumas yidayim on yotze of Karban Pesach. What was our question? That was b'yotze b'kachem. That's regarding all other karbanos, which there's not a rabbim, it's not everyone involved, there's no b'nei chaburah's reason hein. My, what's the halacha over there? Did we make a tumas yidayim as a deterrent that people should not be lax and be negligent in taking it out of the area or not? And that is, take it, let that stand, that there's no raya either way. Regarding Karban Pesach, we know that we did not. Regarding other kachim, we're not sure. That stays as a question. Now, regarding what we had mentioned, regarding this issa of taking it from one group to another group, now the Gemara wants to know the source. Where do we find that there is such a lois essay of taking from one group to another group? As the Gemara says, umaitzi b'sar pesach. Someone that takes out the meat of the Karban Pesach, we continue to Amud Beis, mechabur lechabur, from one group to another group. Minayim, where do we find that there's such an issa, such a negative prohibition? The town like Lena Brisa, Pasuk in Shemaisa, it says, leisaitzi min habayis, you should not take it out of the house, min habasar, from the meat, chutza, to the outside. Now, ainly ele mibayis labayis, I would only know from the pasuk that I can't take it from one house to another house. Mechabur lechabur minayin. How do you know that you can't take the Karban Pesach from one group to another group? And that is when you have two groups in one house, how would you know even that's forbidden to take it from one group to another? Tamaloyma, that's what the pasuk teaches you with chutzah. It's an extra word. It wasn't necessary to say because it already said you can't take it out of the house. What's chutzah? What does it mean to take it to the outside? That teaches you chutz lachilase, out of the area where it's being eaten. In other words, from the group where it's being eaten, you can't take it out even in the same house to the other group. Now, the Gemara qualifies one component of this halacha. Amar Bami, he says, Hamaitzi b'sar pesach mechabur lechabura. Someone that's taking out the piece of meat from one group to another group, ein chayiv, is not going to be liable for this iser at sheyinich until he actually puts it down where the other group is eating. As the Gemara explains, haitzak siv b'kashabas. It says in the pasuk the terminology of loisaitzi, don't take it out, which is the same term that's used for the iser of haitzah, of taking out by Shabbos. And that is masha b'sad da'ovid akir v'anocha, just like to violate the iser of Shabbos, one of the lametes malachas, of transporting something from one domain to another domain. You'll only violate it if you did the uprooting it from the ground and the placing down. It's until you're the one that picked it up and that you actually put it down. I mean, in other words, just like Shabbos, where you're only going to be considered that you did the gemar malacha, the complete malacha, when you actually put it down. And that's because by Shabbos and by all things that you're liable achatzis for, it says in the pasuk ba'asaysa, that when you do it, which means that you did the entire thing, not when you did only part of it, as the Gemara and Shabbos and Dav Tzadik Beis explained. And therefore here, although there's no chiyuv of chatas for this iser, however, it does use the same terminology of loisaiti, of haitzah, and then we compare it to Shabbos, where it says also haitzah, to tell you this idea that it has to have an akira and hanochi, I have to actually put it down. However, on that, the Gemara asks, Masar Reb Abba ben Mamel, he asks on him from a Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, that it says over there, ha-yusivlim eisan, that they would carry the what was known as the parma hanestrafim. These were the bulls that were burnt, and that was their avoid that were done inside the heichal. This is the par and the sa'ir that were brought on Yom Kippur, and the par hamdava when the majority of the Klal Yisrael had followed Bezin in a wrong, an erroneous psak, and the par kain Mashiach of the leader of Klal Yisrael, that they get burnt. On that, the Mishnah says they would carry them b'maites with poles, and they would take it out of the three camps of Machne Shechinah, Machne Leviyah, and Machne Yisrael, which would be out of Yerushalayim, and they would burn it. Now the Gemara learns in Seydu Yuma, in Perek Shnei Sirah and the Samachesim and Aleph, that the Gemara had the following question. It says, by other parim hanisrafim, you give them three machnas. In other words, you have to take it out of the three camps to burn it. Here on Yom Kippur, you give only one camp. Then why would it only have to be taken out of one camp? Because it says in the Pasuk, Yaitzi al mechutz la machna, you should take it out of the camp, which sounds like one camp, and then you burn it. What would be the pshat? Why would here it be different than the other parim hanisrafim that it wouldn't have to be taken out of the three camps? Rather, the Gemara says that it comes to teach you that once you take it out of one camp, of course you take it out of three camps to burn it, but once you take it out of the first camp, it already will go ahead and be metame the garments of those that are carrying it. As it says in the Pasuk, v'hasarifaiser, the one that burns it, yichavetz begodav, should have to wash his clothing. So obviously you see that once they already leave just the courtyard, the azar of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Machne Shechina, which is the first camp, then their clothing that they're wearing would already become tame right away. As the Mishnah there says that at the time Harishayim Yatsu Chutz L'Chayim Esazara, there's poles and there's people in the front and the people in the back. When the first people walking out of that Azara, once they walk out of the wall of the courtyard, V'Achrayim L'Yatsu, and even though the second part of the group of the poles didn't even leave yet the courtyard, already Harishayim Etam Begadim, the first ones, once they leave the first camp, their garments will become Tamei. V'Achrayim Etam Begadim, however, the later ones, their garments will not become Tamei because they're still in the Azara in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. But the question is, v'holoinach, here, it wasn't placed down. Yet they're walking, they're going all the way out of Yerushalayim, out of the third camp. And yet here it says, hoitzah, it says in the pasuk, v'hoitzi esapar, and therefore it should require to be placed down. Just like you're saying, Rabbami, regarding taking out the meat of the carbon pesach from one group to another group. It's only when you put it down, because it says the lashon of leisaitzi. Here it also says haitzah, and yet we see clearly that even when they're in transit, when they just walked out, and one's holding on one side of the wall, and one's on the other one, they already become tamei. However, why? It should have to be put down. So on that, the Gemara says, "Hu meisiv l'avahu mefarkle." He asked the question, Reb Abba ben Mamel, and he also answered the question. Said, it's not difficult, according to Reb Ami, because it's talking about over there in the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim, b'negrorin, when it's being dragged on the ground, where there is hanacha, it is always being placed down. It's bumping, 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 it's on the ground. And therefore, since you do have hanacha, the second you walk out, that is why he'll become tamei the second it goes out, because he is having an akirin hanacha. However, like Taisus says, it doesn't actually have to be dragged. As long as it's within three tefachim of the ground, which is always based on the principle of love, we view it as if it's down on the ground. That enough would be to say that even though they're not dragging, they're actually holding it, but it's down within three tefachim of the ground. Again, that is why the Mishnah Zvachim there says, not contradictory to Rav Ami, rather because there actually is anacha, and that's why that will be included in the Isra of Haitzah to say that to be taken out like Shabbos, that it has to have a Nakira and Hanacha. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about the invalidations of a Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, as we had quoted this Mishnah a few times already on Amud Aleph and on the previous daf, Evish Shiyatza Miktsasli, a limb that part of it had gone out. So the part that went out is invalid because of Slav Yetzik, and the one that's inside, the part of that limb, is still kosher. So what do? Chaytech Ach Megila Etzim, you cut the meat until you reach the bone, exactly the point where it went out. And this is all as we had explained again on the previous daf. For Kailif Ach Megila Perk, then you peel the meat that didn't go out yet until you reach the joint. V'chaytech, and then you break it over there again, because so not to break the bone to be Oivan the Isab Etzim Leisish Bubai, but we still want to maintain the meat, so we don't want to break it at the joint because then that meat is going to be invalid. We want to peel back the meat so that we still have that meat connected to the animal. You break the bone at the joint, and then you throw away that bone. However, Ube Mekdashin, but by other Karbanis of Kachem, not the Karban Pesach, when part of that limb goes out, there you don't have to do that same process. Rather, Kaitzitz, you chop off the part of the bone that went out, but Kaitzitz with a cleaver, and that is, you don't have to peel the meat back. She'imba Mishum Shriya Setsim, because there is no prohibition of breaking the bone. You could chop it exactly where it went out. You don't have to go ahead and break it at the joint. Now the Mishnah qualifies. This Isser of what we're talking about, the Isser of Yotze, of going out in the appropriate areas where it's allowed to be. So the halacha is for certain kachim, specific kachim kalim, they are only allowed to be eaten inside Yerushalayim. So if it would leave the walls of Yerushalayim, it already becomes psilob yotze. However, where exactly is that line that separates inside and outside? So the Mishnah says, Mina agaf. Now Rashi says agaf is the doorway of the where the door is. And that is when the door goes and covers and closes and it hits the doorpost, when it closes, that entire area, when the door would be, let's say, open, when the door would be closed, it would fill that area, that is called the agaf. And that is from the inner edge of the width of the doorway until the place where it hits the doorstop on the outside, that is what's called the agaf. So from the agaf vilifnim towards the inside, in other words, towards the inside of the city of Yerushalayim, that has halacha kilifnim, like inside, and therefore that's where you could eat all kachim kalim. Min agaf ulchutz, however, from this, the width of the doorway, which is up until the doorpost, from that area to the outside, in other words, the place where it hits the doorpost. So if let's say you have the walls have a certain thickness, and the door is an area that when it closes, it fills that gap. However, it goes only to like basically to the outside, but a little bit less because there's the doorpost that it hits it and it stops it over there. That's already being considered lachutz. But the agaf is considered as Rashi says that the Gemara will explain to us later what is the actual halachic status of the agaf itself. However, what we're talking about from the agaf, from that inner part till the inside of Yerushalayim, obviously is Yerushalayim. That's the inside. From the edge of the agaf to the outside, that's like kalachutz, that's like the outside. However, again, the Mishnah didn't tell us about this gray area of the agaf itself, which is where the door actually is when it's closed, which fills the width of the wall. That the Gemara will tell us if that's like the inside or the outside. And then the Mishnah concludes and says, Hachaloines, the windows that are in the wall of Yerushalayim, that there are windows in the actual wall, the avi and the thickness of the top of Hachayma, of the wall, that means on the height of the wall, on the top over there, Kilifnim, they have halachic status like the inside of Yerushalayim. And although we said that the thickness of the gates, it's not like that. However, the Gemara will explain the reason why we said that these areas are going to be considered the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, that is the windows and the top of the wall, whereas we did not give the sanctity of Yerushalayim to the thickness of the sha'arm of the gates. Now the Gemara explains regarding our Mishnah, Amar Yehuda Marav, he says this halacha that we mentioned regarding the agaf, that we said that inside, from the inner part of the wall to the inside of the city is considered inside, outside is outside, and that's going to be possible. The halacha he says is b'chein l'tfilah, the same halacha applies to tefillah, and that if someone, regarding tefillah b'tzibu, and there has to be 10 people in the minyan, whoever's standing from the agaf, in other words, from the doorway to the inside, he could join with the minyan of the 10 people. Whoever's standing outside of the doorway, he's not joining, and although he sees in, he's considered outside and not part of the minyan. Whereas the Gemara says, a plea to Rabbi Shub ben Levi, Rabbi Yehuda Merav is arguing on what Rabbi Shub ben Levi had said. Then Rabbi Shub ben Levi, he said, Afel mechitza shel basel, even a wall made out of metal, einam afsekes ben yisrael la'avim shebashamayim, even that would not separate between the Jewish people and their father in heaven. And that is because there is no separation in front of Hashem, which everything is revealed and known to him, and therefore there's nothing that's blocking, and therefore one would be considered joined in that minyan. Now the Gemara goes back to understand that Mishnah, which we had just alluded to in our Mishnah. Haguf Akasha, it seems to be an internal contradiction in our Mishnah. Because Amrit, you said, Mina agaf ulifnim kilifnim, which basically means anything that's not in the width of the doorway, which means from the width of the doorway, which is what the agaf is. So you're saying from the inside of that, which is anything that's right next to the doorway, but not actually in the doorway. From that and the inside, we say has a locha like inside, because that actually is part of the city of Yerushalayim. The inference is, ha'agaf atzmai, however, the doorway itself, which means the thickness of the gateway, which means from where the door hits the doorpost and inside, that it sounds like would have a locha kilachutz, like the outside, because you only said from the inside of the agaf and inner, that's the inside, but not the doorway itself. But on that it's difficult, because Amos say, well, look at the end of the Mishnah. It says, min ha'agaf ulachutz kilachutz, from the doorpost, and outer words, that's going to be considered as outside. But the inference is, ha'agaf atzim, with the doorway itself, is kilifnim, is like the inside. How do we resolve the contradiction? What is the halachic status of the doorway itself? And that the Gemara says, loy kasha. It's not a difficulty because it happens to be that the Rishon and Sefer are talking about two different areas. Kan, the Sefer that says that the gateway itself will have halachic status like the inside and only from the outside to the outer part will be like outside. That's a reference to Beshari Azara. That's talking about the gateways of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, where the thickness of the walls did have a kedusha of the Azar itself, except as the Gemara will explain, Shari Nikanur, the gates of Nikanur, which were one of the gates going into the courtyard of the Azar, the Beis HaMikdash, where there we did not give it the sanctity of the Azar, but all the of them did. Can the ratio that made it sound like that only the inner part is like inside, but the agaf itself, the doorway itself is like the outside, that's Bishar Yushalayim, that's by the gates of the city of Yushalayim, where then we said it's like the outside, because there the thickness of the walls did not have the Kedusha of Yushalayim. As the Gemara explains, Dam Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Memneima Aloy Neskachu Shari Yushalayim. Why is it by the Azar we understand that the walls are part of the Azar, therefore we have it, the sanctity of the Azar, but why is it by Yerushalayim that we did not give the sanctity of Jerusalem, of Yerushalayim, to the thickness of the walls itself, and therefore someone's in the Agaf itself, he's considered like he's going to be outside? What's the reason? And that the Gemara says, Mipnei Shemitzeram. That's because of those that have tzaras. And that is because halacha is that a mitzvah has to be sent out of all the three machnas, all the three camps, which that includes the Azara, which is the Shechinah, Harabayis, the Machna Levi, and Yushalayim, which is Machna Yisrael. He has to be out of Yushalayim. As the Gemara said on Samach Zayinim and Alf. Now, we made that the walls should not have Kedushas Yushalayim, because Meginim Tachteim, they protect themselves underneath the walls, these Sha'arim of Yushalayim, B'chamam Ne'achamah, in the summertime because of the heat, U'b'ksham Ne'aksham, and in the wintertime because of the rain, because of the elements, what do they have to protect themselves? So that's why we made that the walls should not have the Kedusha, that they can protect themselves and not be in the Machna, but yet still have from the walls of Yushalayim. Similarly, again from the same Amar, V'amri B'shmul Bar of Yitzchak, as we had just mentioned before, why is it that we said that all the gates of the Azara, they do have the sanctity, and that's what with that part of the Mishnah that said that it's like the inside, that was a reference to the Azara, that all the gateways of the Azara are, they do have the Kedusha of the Azara, except for the gates of Nikanor, that it does, that's the eastern gate going into the Azara, that was not like the other Sharm, and that did not have the sanctity of the Azara. That is when they shimit, again, because of the Mitzaram, but here this is for a halacha. That's because those who have tzaras, they stand there. Now, when are they standing there? This is on the eighth day of when they finished counting after they were healed from their tzaras, and he cut off all his hair, and he already immersed in the mikvah, and he waited for sundown on the seventh day. Here he is on the eighth day, and he's still what's called a mechutzei kippurim. He's still lacking atonement because of his korban that still has to be brought. And we learned in Masechtas Menachas Nav Chav Zayinim and Aleph that a mechutzei kippurim, someone that's lacking atonement, that comes into the azara, his punishment is karas. And we learn that from a pasuk of Oitu Masabai. So what does this mitzayre do? As the Gemara explains, he stands over there in the gateway of the Shari Nikanor, not going into the Azara, but standing in the gateway, Umachnisin behind his yad, and he sticks in the thumbs of his hands. And from there, that's how he gets the thumbs into the courtyard so that the blood of the Karban Asham should be placed in there. That's because he's in a very difficult position. On the one hand, he can't go in because he's a Mitzayra and he's a Mechusei Kippurim. Mechusei Kippurim gets karas if he goes into Azara. On the other hand, the Halacha says that the blood of the Asham has to be thrown onto his thumbs. Now, what are you going to do? You can't go ahead and take the blood of the Asham and take it outside, because then that blood becomes Pasul of Yaitze, because the boundaries of that blood is the walls of the courtyard. But he can't go in. So what do? That's where the halachic compromise of we were not mekadesh the Shar of Nikanor. So he has somewhere to stand. And although he's sticking his thumbs into the Azara so that it won't become pasul going into the gateway where he is, which is not kadesh, which would be out of the boundary of the blood. However, Rashi gives two interpretations. Either because what's called bia b'miktz is going in just a little bit, which means just with your thumbs, that's not considered bia, that's not considered going in to have a punishment of karas for that. Or Rashi says that although bia b'miktz is going in partly would be considered going in, this is what's known as exeis hakasav. The Torah is telling you, in spite of that, it says in Vayikra Yedalad, v'hem en ha-koyin ha-mitaris se'isha mitar lefnei Hashem, that he should be there. Now how could he be there if he's mechutzei kippurim? And that's what the Torah is telling you, but not to go totally in, but rather go bia b'miktz. You can't go totally in. So what is the halachic compromise? The exeis hakasav is telling you, stand in the Shar Nikanor, which does not have the Kedusha of the Azara, and go in a little bit, so that's still a lesser level, although that is considered bia. However, the Torah is telling you to do it in spite of that, and therefore that is the reason why Shari Nikanor did not have the Kedusha Azara, because the mitzvah to have the kapara with the blood of their ashrim. And that is the reason why the Shari of Yerushalayim did not have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, again because of mitzvah to protect them from the elements of the heat and the cold when they're out of the three machnas, that of the Shari Shechina, Leviyah, and Yerushalayim.